This is Real Talk, the podcast with Devin Wieters, where we talk all things inclusion and have a little bit of fun, too. Remember to leave a 5-star review and enjoy the show.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Real Talk. My name is Devin Wieters. Today, we have the second part of our two-parter with Kevin Hoffman. Make sure you have listened to part one to find out more about him and his story. But enjoy the second part of our two-part episode with Kevin Hoffman.
This is Real Talk, the podcast.
So tell me about your work with adoptees.
Yeah, so one of the things I do is just I try to be more vocal and help those kids that have come up behind me. And so, yeah, one of the lessons I try to teach is that, you know, adoption, no one asks us what we want. It usually happens and we're just told to go to this house and live. And so I explain to them that if you choose to search, that goes however you want it to go. You get to call the shots. You can be in touch with people or you can simply meet them just because you're curious, and that's enough. I spent a lot of time just trying to really encourage adoptees. One of the big lessons I try to get them to see, because it was tough for me to see this, but it's just that so many kids that were either in foster care and then later adopted or just in foster care, we go through so much at an early point in our lives. And we take it for granted that that's just what you have to go through because that's all you know. But what I try to get adoptees and, you know, foster care alums to see is that what we have gone through so early in life, most people don't go through in a lifetime. And if you can just tap into the strength and resilience that got you to where you are today, that can make a big difference. We're a whole lot stronger than we think we are. Because we've been through so much.
That's good advice. that's good advice. I think I'll take that advice, honestly. Even though I'm not adopted, I have two great parents. But, you know, other stuff. The work you do with schools and corporations addresses the importance of creating spaces where all students, employees can thrive. How do we do that? I can't talk today.
So the biggest point that I tried, I was just in New Jersey not too long ago, and the point that I tried to drive home to that school district was, and I was talking to the administration and staff, and I had told them that one of the most difficult tasks we have as schools or working with schools is that you have to create this environment where the kid with the Black Lives Matter t-shirt and the kid with the Make America Great Again hat can coexist. And those are two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. And so how do you get them to get along? And what I try to impress upon the schools and organizations is you just have to let all kids or employees understand that they can be whoever they want to be in their own 3 feet. And so who I vote for, who I love, how I spend my money, I can have all that within my own 3 feet, and it doesn't have to affect the person sitting next to me. Where it gets all kind of convoluted and messy is when we think that we have to convince the person sitting next to us to believe the way we do. And you're never going to do that. And so let's not go there. Do not have those deep conversations with people, students or fellow employees, if you're not in relationship with those people. That's why Facebook doesn't work, because you're having these deep conversations with people you don't even know. And so they're not invested in you. You're not invested in them. And you're just sitting there yelling at each other. They're never going to see your point. You're never going to see theirs. And it's just such a waste of time. And so the big point for corporations is, yes, we can honor employees and students. We can allow them to totally fill up that 3 feet around them. while being respectful of the 3 feet sitting right next to you.
That's a great analogy. I think a lot more people need to do that. We'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, exactly.
So, random question. Have you seen Just Mercy, the movie, or read the book?
You know, I've taped it, and that's a movie I have to, psychologically, I have to be ready to see.
It is a great movie, but it will make you cry.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting. I was just going through my DVR the other day, and I saw that still on there. And I'm like, oh, I gotta watch that movie.
Bryan Stevenson is actually one of the main reasons why I want to go to law school. But oh, really? Yeah, so oh, cool. Have you read the book?
I have not.
You have to read the book too, because it gets into a lot of other cases that he handles. But you have to be ready for that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because there's a lot of disability cases in there, which I didn't expect. And there's a lot about the disability rights movement. I was like, I wasn't prepared for this. But oh my gosh, hope we don't get a clobbered on the Twitter and Instagram and Facebook for this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Where do we stand in this country on race and racism? How do we get better?
I think, so I've done a lot of research as far as race and racism. And one of the interesting things I think I found was that the civil rights movement back in the 60s, one of the things that pushed it to the forefront of everybody's mind was the fact that every night when people would turn on the TV and the news would come on, they would get the video of black protesters at a protest being shot with fire hoses and being torn apart by dogs. And those images came into everybody's living room in the late 60s. And it was the reason why so many white people joined in to help with the civil rights movement and why so much got done at that time. Because people would turn on their TV every night and see what people of color had been telling them for decades before that. This is how we're being treated. And so TV brought that in so everyone could see it. That was a big push, civil rights movement. We are now at that point in history today with the advent of the cell phone. So now we all have cell phones on us. And so now we all get to see these videos of the police brutality that the black community has been talking about for decades. And I think now we had the perfect storm back in March when we were all quarantined and didn't have much to do. So a lot of us just sat on our phones and we got to see that horrible video of George Floyd being murdered.
Yeah. What was your reaction when you saw that?
Just appalled that this guy is dying and there's a man kneeling on his neck very calmly, allowing it to happen.
Yeah, that was.
And I think so many people saw that. And so many people that wouldn't have seen it saw it. And so now we got this big push that something has to be done.
So I'm going to ask you this, and I don't know what you think about this, but I thought about it later, like a while after it came out. And I was like, somebody was filming it on a cell phone, but why didn't somebody get off the cell phone and pull the police officer off? Like, why didn't it click in somebody's head, like, oh, something might be wrong here? I guess maybe because they were a police officer and they trusted them.
Yeah, I think that person had to make the choice. Do I want to end up like George Floyd? I mean, and if he had, whoever shot that, if they had stepped forward to pull the police off him, that would not have ended well.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't have, but I mean,
yeah, and it was Yeah, it's frustrating because you're like, somebody help him. But you had all these armed police around that weren't doing anything to help him. And they all had guns. So, yeah, I don't think there was much anybody could have done, unfortunately, outside of the police.
Yeah, because I didn't think about that, because even if you did have multiple people, I mean, they have a gun, so.
Yeah, and they're trained. I mean, those guys are trained. They're trained in combat. So, it wouldn't have been a good idea to go up against them. And I think, yeah, that created a perfect storm where we all had to sit and watch 8 minutes and 46 seconds of this guy being murdered. And that created this movement, unlike a movement I've ever seen when we're talking about race in this country. And so I am encouraged and frustrated at the same time. So I'm so frustrated that the fact that what I was born into, we're still dealing with 53 years later. But I've never seen a response, quite honestly, to a police killing the way I have George Floyd. I have never seen mayors publicly denounce their own police department or police chiefs publicly denounce their own police department, which happened with the George Floyd case. And so I am encouraged that all that was painful. But the point of that was to really create change that needs to be done. There's so much that needs to be done. And I think with this next administration, I think just doing some little changes will help out greatly.
I think a lot about that in the context of like ableism and everything too. Like, are we going to have an 8 minute, 46 second video to really deal with ableism too? I mean, thank you for coming on. Would you like to end with a little bit of rapid fire fun game?
Sure.
Okay. Favorite food?
Pizza.
Something you can't live without? Or leave your house without?
Oh, definitely. My phone.
Everybody says that. Favorite movie?
It depends on what movie I watched last. I give you favorite series, which I watch, which is amazing. And it's not the kind of series that I would watch usually, is Lovecraft Country.
Oh, yeah. I listen to a podcast and they do a bunch of coverage of reality show recaps, and they have another podcast, those same people, where they do scripted shows. And they have, what's that about?
It is crazy. It's a science fiction movie, but it has a lot to do with race and racism. So it's set in the, I think, 50s. And so, but it's around, it's about a black cast. But there's so much supernatural, and it's definitely sci-fi.
Is that on Hulu or Netflix or
it's on HBO? I think it's HBO Max.
Oh, I don't have HBO. Darn it. Okay. Well, is it on Prime? Can you get it on Prime too?
I'm trying to. It might be on Netflix.
Okay, I'll look for it. So, inclusion is, fill in the blank.
Better for everyone. Most people assume inclusion is just important for those that are marginalized. But no, it helps out everybody. It's interesting. So I work in, like I said, I work with a bunch of schools. And we have two boys, and my oldest son went to the University of Toledo, and he was explaining to me that he had a class, and the class was designed about challenging these college students to think. And so one of the kids in the class was a young white kid that had grown up in a white community, white church, white family. And he had grown up in an environment where no one ever challenged the way he thought, because he was surrounded by people who thought just like him. And so when he got into this class where they were really challenging how these kids thought, that kid failed the class because, quite honestly, he lacked diversity in his life. And so when people questioned what he had been told was fact and that everyone should think like this, when he had found out that that wasn't the case, he failed that class miserably. And that's just a great lesson in that diversity helps us all. It helps us all to go out and just kind of get along in this country that is becoming more and more diverse every day. It's not going to go back to the 50s where it's predominantly white and predominantly run by white males. That we're past that now. And so diversity and inclusion is great because it teaches us all how to get along.
That's a great answer. Last question, favorite song.
Probably Sam Cooke's Change Is Gonna Come.
I love that song, and that's kind of a fitting song for where we are today.
Yeah, and every time something like horrible happens in the country, I listen to that song because it just speaks to so much that we've gone through over these last, 50, 60 years.
Yeah. And what do you think about the political stuff around race? Is it good? Is it bad?
Oh, it's horrible. These last 4 years have just been a train wreck.
Not like necessarily partisan, but each party kind of like politicizing race, I guess.
And again, I think we are now at a point where we've gone back so far. And there's no way for me to say this without saying the last 4 years, we've gone backwards. But I think the way history shows itself in our country is we have to take several steps back to move several steps forward. And I think because of all the tension and just the ugliness that has happened over the last 4 years, I think that will just create a better country. It's been horribly painful to go through, but I'm hopeful that now we have the attention of people that we didn't have in the past. And I think a lot of the things that I always saw as obvious are becoming more and more obvious to more and more people. And George Floyd was a great example of that.
Yes. And where can people follow you on social media, get your books, stuff like that?
So my handle on Twitter and Instagram is the same. It's KevInclusion.
That is awesome. That is the best handle we've had.
You take my wife. She came up with that. My website is just the name of the book, Growing Up Black in White.com. And for the month of December, you can go there. My book is for sale on the site. And for the month of December, what I'm doing is if you go to my site and you buy a book, I give you 3 books, and my hope is that my book talks a lot about not only adoption, but it talks more about how I interpreted race as a person of color growing up in this country. And so my hope is that when someone comes to the website and buys a book and I give them 3, that they can share the other 2 with 2 people. And we can just get a better understanding of what that might be like as a person of color growing up in this country.
I will definitely read that. And you're great. So if you need anything else, just you have my email. So contact me.
All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on. And I will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
You've been listening to Real Talk the Podcast. Connect with us on Instagram at Real Talk Pod Official, Twitter at Devin Real Talk, and Facebook at Real Talk Podcast Official. If you'd like to support the show, you can do that by using the link in the show notes. Stay tuned for the next episode.